All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Sometimes you wanna go. Hour number three here on a Thursday afternoon, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on youtube.com/1080AM the fan, or twitch.tv/1080AM the fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this glorious Thursday. And, well, it's Thursday, 2 o'clock, it's NFL season. It's time to make our picks ahead of week three in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All of us sucked last week.
2-2. Russ and I went two and two.
Oh, you went two and two? Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's right. You guys were behind me. My bad. Regardless, we're now all 5-3.
I mean,
so yeah. Apparently you sucked harder than
I sucked harder. Yeah,
you went 1-3 last
week. Yeah, I went 1-3.
We at least kept our money pretty much.
Yeah. No.
Not where I put the units.
See, I put all the right. units on. I parlayed Commanders -2 with the under.
Yeah,
the under hit, baby. We like it. Commanders squeaked out that win at the last second.
Stealing money on the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, that's a fair one. Always. What was the lineup to against the Panthers this week?
I don't know. It's going to be a point and a half
seven.
The other direction.
Seven.
Yeah.
7-point spread.
ESPN Sportsbook has it at 5. Vegas at 5-point favorites.
Yeah. DK's up at 7. That's a...
Yuzzles.
That's a different one. Well, I guess you guys both went 2-2, so when do you guys start?
What are you seeing 7? I have it on DraftKings. My app says 5.
5.
Bengals-Panthers?
How about no. Panthers
Oh, I scrolled too far down.
Yeah, Panthers-Raiders. Your Raiders playing the Panthers.
Only 5-point favorites against the Panthers, your
With the
Raiders.
Over-under at 40. Yikes.
Minshew Magic. Didn't you see Max Crosby gassing him up?
Golly.
Telling him he needs to be Washington State Minshew?
That's right.
Huh, babe?
He does. Any Washington State yeah. Minshew's great.
There you go. Well, you guys went up. Why don't you take the lead here?
All right. My first game that I will go with, I got the Chargers +1.5 at the Steelers.
That's a road dog.
And that's where I'm going to start. I love road dogs. I love the Chargers +1.5. I think this line has a lot to do with Justin Herbert's health, mm-hmm. his right ankle being taped up and looking like a cast on there. They're going to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
That is no secret. They are going to try and eliminate. And think about what running the football does against the Steelers. Takes away your biggest weapon, which is T.J. Watt
and his
being
rush.
A wrecking crew mm-hmm. off the edge in the pass rush. Now, T.J. Watt also very good against the run, mm-hmm. but where you get behind the sticks and you get in trouble is against T.J. Watt getting to your quarterback on early downs. Give me the Chargers +1.5. In Pittsburgh.
I like it. I am also going to tail that. You said you love the Chargers. Could you say maybe you just love football?
I love football.
I love football.
I love guys that love football as well.
Guys that like football, they like me back.
Yeah.
That's basically the Chargers-Steelers game is guys who like football.
Yeah. And so many people love football in that stadium. It's Pittsburgh.
And at 1.5, I'll tag in on that just because I don't trust Justin Fields. I just don't care. I can't do it. I can't. Rusty?
I decided to stay away from that game because of the unknown nature of Justin Herbert and his playing status.
Mm.
But I am going to start with tonight, taking the Patriots +6 at the Jets. That is another road dog. Look, I'm still not sold on the Jets. The Patriots, they did take the Seahawks to overtime. They're bad, but I don't. They haven't been getting blown out so
far.
Feisty defense, and yeah. So I don't think
feisty defense.
I don't think I see the Jets of all teams blowing them out either. So I'm taking the Patriots plus six.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's not a bad pick there, Russ, because Patriots offensive line is dreadful, dreadful. So has the Jets defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They've been real bad.
A defensive line that's supposed to be good. It's also missing its top pass rusher that they traded for. So.
Yep.
You know.
My second pick here, I'm going the under 43.5 of the Niners versus Rams. You want to talk about a mass unit game here. If you were to look at the injury report today, and just take the injuries in on the injury report, you would see quite possibly one of the most sad of injury reports. The 49ers could be without Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Chavarius Ward.
Kittle being the newest addition to the injury report.
The Rams are going to be without Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, likely Tyler Higbee, John Johnson III, and Steve Avila. That is a injury palooza.
You drop the quarterbacks, you have a preseason game.
I am going under 43.5 in that football game.
I am going to do the same. We have two of the same picks this week. I feel like these are probably the two that make some of the most sense heading into the week. I don't understand how the 49ers and Rams, when they're missing this many people, very likely,
yeah,
has a total this high, and yet we have a point total this week that's at 35.5, a full 8 points less. I the math isn't mathing. No matter how good the quarterbacks are in Purdy and Stafford. Yeah. Where are they going with the ball? I just don't get it. So, what you got, Mr. Rust?
We're going to the desert. I owe Kyler Murray a bit of an apology after last week, but I still, I'm gonna stay behind the fighting kneecap biters. Give me Detroit -3 at Arizona.
I was torn on that game. I really was. I was torn on that game because I wanted to go Detroit. But there was another line that looked tasty. And it was the Chiefs -3.5 at the Atlanta Falcons. I think that...
Bird not dirty enough for you?
Well, it has less to do with Atlanta and more to do with Kansas City. Mm. Knowing that they didn't play well. And you're coming off of Patrick Mahomes with his worst passing game statistically as a pro against Cincinnati. I think they're going to have a little bit to prove there. Falcons on a short week, and they have to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody wants that. Give me Kansas City on the road, -3.5.
Where I diverge from tailing you here, I'm taking Seahawks -4.5 against the Dolphins. Dolphins, they have a quarterback?
Yes, Skylar Thompson.
Okay, so no.
Technically they do.
The answer is no.
Oh.
So I'm going to go ahead and take the Seahawks, regardless of the playmakers of the Miami Dolphins. Mm. We saw the playmakers from the Miami Dolphins with Tua before he got knocked out of the game get taken out of the game by the Bills. The Seahawks have the kind of personnel who could do the same thing defensively. Mm-hmm. And I'm picking up what they're putting down on the defensive side of the ball, and I think they can cover this with a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Patriots' only loss this season is to the best team in the NFL. Can't prove me wrong.
Mm.
Seahawks, they're undefeated.
Facts.
My
next one, I'm with Dusty here, Kansas City -3.5. It feels like a trap to me, like why it's only 3.5, but bottom line, I trust Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So give me the Chiefs -3.5.
Simple one.
Y'all seen the Dolphins injury report too? It's Tua out, River Craycraft in the slot, he's on the IR, Taj Washington, wide receiver on the IR, Anthony Schwartz, wide receiver on the IR, Odell Beckham Jr., questionable, Raheem Mostert, questionable, Jeff Wilson, questionable, Malik Washington, backup to Tyreek Hill, questionable, Grant DeBose, backup to Jalen Waddle, also questionable.
So their entire wide receiver and running back room is questionable outside of Tyreek.
Left tackle, Tron Armstead, questionable. Left guard, Robert Jones, questionable. Uh-huh. Isaiah Wynn, left guard, out. We got Keon Smith, backup line, interior offensive lineman, injured reserve. Seems to be going well.
Mm.
Seems to be going really, really well there.
Oof.
Yeah. All right, my final pick, I'm going to go to Tampa. Now, this just may be I'm feeling what Baker Mayfield is doing. I like what he's saying. They are 6.5-point favorites against the Denver Broncos at home. 6.5, a big line for
a
team
number
that you don't necessarily trust fully. But I think it's the lack of faith that I have in Denver right now. Yeah. That's where it's at. And they have to go from Mile High down to swampy sea level and have to go play in Tampa. I'm going to roll with Baker, touchdown maker. 6.5.
I like it.
That's a big line.
That's the thing is, my last line, I'm going to share this publicly. Please forgive me.
Okay.
I almost took the Cowboys in a bet, which is very, very, very unlike me. And it was only because the Cowboys were at home against the Ravens, who have looked like doo-doo.
That's doo-doo, baby.
Is a one-point spread. Is a pick'em, essentially. Or they're saying the Ravens on a neutral field are the favorite. I don't trust either of those teams, but in, like, the most dysfunctional way. Whereas the cheeky and fun dysfunction that I don't quite trust is the Bears and Colts. Mm. And I'm going to take the Bears +1.5 at the Colts, ladies and gentlemen, a road dog. In the battle of young quarterbacks still trying to figure it out, I think the Bears get the nod because their defense is better. And I think they cover it by more than one.
All right.
Spicy, I know.
It's a bold move, Cotton.
You know?
Caleb Williams is still looking for his first touchdown pass. As is every other rookie starter in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I saw that the other day, too.
You know,
well, I said it on this show. Thanks for listening.
Watching, okay. Well, watching the Colts not be able to stop.
If I wanted to get ignored, I'd go home to my wife.
Hey. Watching the Colts not be able to stop the Packers running the ball 53 straight times, yeah. I'm like, maybe Caleb Williams can find something there in that Colts defense.
Yeah. 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 To further that, Rust, it's not just zero touchdowns. They account for 6 combined interceptions.
Ooh.
And I believe it was 13 or 14 sacks.
Caleb has 9 because he got 2 week 1, 7 week 2.
Yeah. That's
stinky.
That is stinky. And then I think they're combined completing only 63% of their passes.
That's not great either.
Yep. Not great. That's rookies though, man.
Yep.
Well, for my last pick, I'll just start out with this.
Certainly not.
I have seen nothing yet from Jacksonville this year that makes me believe they can stay within a touchdown of the Bills, so I'm taking Buffalo -5 as they host the Jaguars.
Trevor Lawrence said it himself. We suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're wrong.
I mean, poignant. That's like Bo Nix describing his interception. Well, I dropped back and I threw it to the other team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is what happened. Yeah. We're seeing it. It's crystal clear. What's happening here?
I guess that's the kind of blunt you want from your quarterback.
I mean, at least he's aware. Kind of, yeah. I mean, we've seen plenty of other quarterbacks obfuscate that and be like, well, you know.
Yeah. Drop back and threw the ball to the other team.
Yeah. There we go.
Next question. All right. I like the honesty. Yeah. I think we need more of that.
Well, he is touchdown Jesus. You can't lie.
That was Bo Nix who said that.
Oh, that's right.
We suck is Trevor Lawrence, and he is touchdown Jesus. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Needs to.
Well, not really so much yet this year. But.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe this is him
okay.
about to die and be reborn.
He's lost 7 consecutive starts. At what point does he go for the need a change, cut the hair?
Ooh.
Huh?
Is he going to come back Joe Burrow style and do the Slim Shady?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not working for Joe Burrow. They're 0-2.
That's because he's letting it grow out.
He's got to get extensions.
He hasn't re-bleached yet,
If he re-bleached it, they start winning games?
Yeah.
All right.
The power of the bleach soaking into
his
brain.
I'm in on this theory. When Zach Taylor also bleaches his eyebrows, then that is when the Cincinnati Bengals start winning.
Yes.
Yeesh.
All right,
those are our picks for this week. We're all 5-3 heading into. Hey, look, 5-3 is that's winning.
Hey, we're taking home money.
That's what we like to see.
Taking home money.
Coming next, you want to pivot to some college football?
I would. I'd love to.
All right, let's pivot to some college football and the oldest dudes in college football coming up next here on Danny and Dusty today, the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
College football slate isn't exactly spicy this weekend, but there are some interesting little gems in there.
Better than last week's turd burger.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, nothing's going to... That's the worst week. Week three in college football is the worst week in college football. By a order of magnitude.
See, this is why my conference draft needs to happen.
We get the top 25 matchup tomorrow night.
We get a top 25 matchup. Yeah, I'm in.
Illinois, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Which, okay. NC State, Clemson lost a lot of its luster.
I remember when we were talking Big Ten at the beginning of the year, and I was like, we need to kind of familiarize ourselves with it. And I said, Illinois is going to be a tricky game for Oregon on their schedule. Mm-hmm. And people are like, bah, they're going to blow them out.
Bielema's a good coach.
Brett Bielema is good for a team to pop every few years. And you looked at just kind of everything with their roster, their additions through the portal, the guys that they got to come back. They're a sneaky little team. Are they good? No, they're the back half of a top 25 team, right? But that's one of those games where if you get caught sniffing your own stuff and you think you're the cat's pajamas and you overlook them, they'll nip you. And they're not a terrifying team by any measure, but we're going to learn a lot about them and about Nebraska on Friday night. And I think that's an okay game. That's like a football junkie game where you're like, we'll check that one out.
I mean, I'm definitely going to be pulled in for the Raiola content.
Yeah.
Like let's see how he looks. Cause look, stunting on Colorado, not hard to do.
No, we see it often.
Yeah. Everyone does it.
Yeah.
Illinois, they're going to offer a little bit more resistance, certainly.
But a little bit more.
So let's see how the true freshman looks.
Think.
See if he gets rattled. You know, I like
something
this.
Up. But it is in Lincoln.
It is in Lincoln. That you get 80,000 people that are going to red.
That's going to be a sneaky, fun little game. And look, if Nebraska starts a season 4-0, guess what? That fan base going to be insufferable.
Yeah, the wagon gets rolling.
Yeah, and good on them. Go ahead and do it.
I saw a meme on Twitter the other day. I think the 17th was Patrick Mahomes' birthday. And I think it was BetGM or something. They did that gif of the dude hauling balls down like the entrance, whatever, outside of the stadium, just running. And it said, yeah, Dylan Raiola racing to go change his birthday to September 17th.
Can you do that? I mean, it feels like you can identify as a lot of different things. Can you self-identify your birthday?
Dude, but Nebraska, they get Purdue after this week.
And that's a turd.
Yeah, that's not a good game. But after that, they get Rutgers, which I've been calling and singing Rutgers praise. Like, Greg Schiano has got that thing going. They're going to be physical, run the ball. Then they go to Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. And
they're a spicy little meatball.
The Google Me bitch is playing really good football. Right? They're just putting up a ton of points on everybody. I mean, granted, they beat UCLA, but they handled their business. And Indiana done beat teams like that.
UCLA, when we talk about, you know.
Well, they're from L.A.
They are from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted you to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Washington State and Oregon State are miles better than UCLA.
Yeah.
Miles.
Yeah.
Even after being entirely pilfered. They are.
Well, UCLA was pilfered too when Chip left.
Yeah, but they are awful.
Yeah, they sure are, Bob.
They beat Hawaii by a field goal?
Didn't they win by like a point? Wasn't it only 1 point that they won by?
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I remember it being very, 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 like, say, squeaked it out.
But then after they play Indiana, they go to Ohio State. So they got, there's going to be a...
There's a reckoning coming.
If they start 4-0, get all that good graces up and all that mojo going in the right direction, because it's going to come downhill real fast.
Would be funny if they nipped Ohio State and took them down, though.
Yeah, at the end of October.
Things you love to see. Mm-hmm. Ohio State absolutely biting it on the curb.
Wow.
What?
What did Ohio State do to you?
Everything. I dislike them so much.
Yeah. Oh, it was a field goal. 16-13, they beat Hawaii. Then just lost 42-13 to Indiana.
After a bye week.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough. Listen to this little slate here. I think all it's right. interesting of how it's being shaped, at least. Villanova, Maryland. James Madison, North Carolina. Houston, Cincinnati. And Kansas, West Virginia. Is that a college football slate or the best basketball kickoff you've ever heard?
It sounds like a good basketball weekend. Yeah.
I don't think you could pull better names out of a hat for a basketball matchup.
Who's Butler playing?
Right? I mean... Above that, you got Charlotte, Indiana. That'd be a nice little, you know, NCAA tournament matchup.
Okay, yeah. You know? Sneaky, pesky little game.
But as far as the college football slate, none of that I have any interest in. Although Kansas, West Virginia in the morning, that's a fun drunk matchup.
I'll tell you what, the game that I'm looking forward to, though, is in the Big House. USC goes on the road. They're going to start Big Ten play. They've got Michigan, and Michigan is going to try to run the ball down their throat and keep the offense off the field.
Yeah, and that's, as USC guy, that's the thing that I'm afraid of.
That's what Vegas thinks, too. The over-under on that game is 44.5. Think about, they are 100% just saying, no, Michigan is going to try to put the clamps down and suffocate USC.
And if they can limit possessions and Alex Orji can break a few plays with his legs and keep them ahead of the sticks, I get a little bit worried, because as good as USC has looked, and they have looked better than I anticipated, they don't have the depth to sit there and handle getting punched in the face for four quarters.
Over and over and over and over and over again. And
that's what Michigan, Sharon Moore, that's what he wants to do.
But similar to Nebraska fans, even though we see the warts of Michigan right now, USC starts 4-0. You are going to
That train is coming down the tracks, baby.
And you know that this is not a great Michigan team.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
I know.
And it won't stop you.
Mm-mm.
Good.
Yep.
Because it definitely won't crash into the side.
College football playoff, here we come, baby!
Then they go home and lose to Wisconsin the next week. God. And Wisconsin's backup quarterback. Yeah. So you have Michigan and USC. That's going to be a fun-ass game. In that game... is 12:30 CBS. Mm-hmm. That's the SEC window. What are we doing here?
It's a little weird.
And then you have, on the heels of that, right after that game starts, I think a phenomenal football game, now that we know that Cam Rising is going to be back for Utah.
This is the most interesting, if neutral game of the week. I don't think it's really close.
Utah takes on Oklahoma State in Stillwater, 12 versus 14. I think this has all the makings of a classic.
Look, Gundy's a weird dude. And, you know, he has his stuff that he says, it makes you roll your eyes. He's a phenomenal coach.
And gets his dudes ready, man.
He's a phenomenal coach. And then Whittingham is one of the four best coaches in college football.
Yeah. I'm excited to see the Utah and Oklahoma State. I hope Cam Rising is not just out there to try and gut it out. I hope he is back and ready to play at the level that we've come accustomed to him seeing, because Utah is a completely different team. Like, the yards per play, I think it's a yard and a half more per play. Think about that. If you run 60 yards, 60 plays in a game, how much better your offense is with Cam Rising at quarterback. You run 80 plays a game, how much better your offense is with Cam Rising. A yard and a half may not seem like a lot, but it is a mountain of difference with how that Utah offense operates. So Utah, Oklahoma State, I'm excited for, because then you look down the schedule. I mean, if Utah wins this game, they're in the driver's seat for the Big 12 championship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really are, because they have Arizona. Shine came off of them against Kansas State.
Yeah, wow.
Arizona State, TCU, Houston, BYU, Colorado, Iowa State, UCF.
A lot of good, plucky teams. But
they don't play Kansas State. Nope. They don't play Kansas. This all is gearing up for Utah.
Stay healthy. It's yours.
No doubt about it. No. And you have a little bit of runway. By the way, Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State has done a good job. They're just not there to compete yet at a high level, but he has done a really good job. Mm-hmm. Like Dillingham, he may be the guy that gets Arizona State rolling because.
Does he wake up the sleeping giant?
No. He's a good enough coach to win games that they shouldn't. I can't say no fast enough. But it's a conference that he'll be able to be competitive in because there is no behemoth that you're having to recruit against. You can farm your own land and do a really good job at Arizona State. So, but back to Utah, Oklahoma State. I think that's the game of the week. And look, I'm excited for Tennessee and Oklahoma. I think Tennessee mops the floor with Oklahoma.
I do too.
But I think that's going to be a fun game.
That might be the coming out party for Tennessee, which I think
Josh Heupel coming home.
I think this is a fun way to kind of take a look at this. We've only got 3 weeks in, but I kind of want to look at the tiers of basically what the top 12 of college football, not necessarily the college football playoff bracket, but kind of how things are breaking out through the first couple weeks and what's changed based on our thoughts and predictions coming into the season. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Looking at the college football standings 3 weeks into the season, nothing is going to be a decider, but I think it's the wheat starts to separate from the chaff, and you can talk about losing an early game in the season that doesn't come back to bite you near as bad or one that looks worse. But I think it's interesting when you talk about the new college football playoff, just kind of how the tiering starts to look and how things shape up through the season and how teams, I think, are going to treat this differently as we get into conference play, where it's less about maybe style points and more about just getting the win. Because if you get the win and you get the opportunity, you take care of business the way that you need to take care of business, then you just get into the playoff.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that we look at some of the top teams. With the 12-team playoff, we have to kind of recondition ourselves as to what a regular season looks like. Because for the teams that come in as the top tier, like 10-2, that is, all right, you're eligible for the playoff. You are probably good for the playoff. If you, depending on, you know, if you stub your toe somewhere, lose to a really good team in a tight game, you're like 10-2, you can get in now. It's not a death sentence by any stretch. But there are some other teams, though, that you look at and you say, if you go 10-2, I mean, if you're a lot, Ole Miss is a great example of this, right? Ole Miss looks like an absolute buzzsaw right now. 76-0, 52-3, 40-6. Those are their first three games. Mm-hmm. They got Georgia Southern this week, too. Probably going to blow them out. Just mop the floor with them. Okay? They have Kentucky, South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi State.
Those last two they can get healthy on, but that five-game stretch is that's tough.
I don't think it is.
You don't
Kentucky
think so?
And South Carolina, no, because what are the other teams that you could be playing from the SEC there, right?
You're avoiding Missouri.
You're avoiding Missouri. Tennessee. You're avoiding Texas. You're avoiding Tennessee. You're avoiding Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, think of, like, they actually got the only team that don't play this bad is Vanderbilt. Right?
Yeah. I mean, and if you're six of the top seven right now in the top 25 are SEC teams.
If you are going to play any of the ranked teams, you're going to want to play LSU, which has offensive line depth issues, Oklahoma, which people are kind of half in on, half out on. I'm in on Oklahoma more than I'm out on them. I don't think they're a national title contending team, though. And the other teams that we mentioned, they potentially are when you talk about Alabama and Tennessee, right? So,
and Georgia's got some dings up and down.
If you go with Ole Miss's schedule and your two losses are to Georgia and Oklahoma, right? People are going to be like, we're going to see other teams lose to, right? So we have to consider kind of the strength of each team's schedule and what that looks like. And it's not as much. Everybody's like, well, style points. No, I don't think it is. I think it's going to be the depth of your schedule will determine which two lost teams are going to be getting in the 12-team field.
Because it's interesting, you talk about Missouri. Missouri, their next stretch is A&M, UMass, Auburn, Alabama, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Arkansas. It's almost the same team. It's almost the same schedule. You just swap Alabama for Georgia.
They cannot lose two games. Like, they can't. I mean, because they didn't start as high as Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin ain't going to troll everybody. Eli Drinkwitz will just do it in front of cameras. But, yeah, you have to kind of look at, all right, how are these stacking up with the teams and their schedules and how everything plays out?
When you take a look at how things are sitting right now, again, six of the top seven are SEC teams. But I think when you start tiering this, I think it does break up a little bit different than what it actually looks like, at least for me. I've got, if you talk about tiers, two teams are better than everybody else in college football, Texas and Georgia. I think Texas is very clearly the best team in the country right now. They are playing incredibly well on both sides of the ball. Secondary, solid. Pass rush, great. Even with missing two running backs, they're still incredibly efficient. They have arguably the best wide receiver room in the country, and they have two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There's no quarterback. Like, it's the only team in the country where their starting quarterback goes down and you don't worry.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
I'm throwing Ohio State in that conversation too, because they have done nothing to make me believe that they have, you know, if the big concern was going to be Will Howard heading into this season, he has been wildly efficient distributing. I think he's completing what, 73% of his passes on the season. They haven't really played anybody tough, but they haven't given you any reason to think that they're going to be in trouble. If he is a game manager, manage it.
Yeah. I mean, that's
Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins. You have Jeremiah Smith on the outside, the freshman who just is absolutely freaky, twitchy. Emeka Buka is now your third best receiver because you were so deep at wide receiver. Like, there's nothing that has told me they don't belong in that conversation. We'll see, you know, in the war of attrition that is football, what happens injury wise on their line. Their defense looks just as good as advertised. They went into the portal. They bolstered that. I don't see any reason.
Yeah, no, adding Caleb Downs to your secondary is a good thing.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why Ohio State, through the first two games that they play, because they've had a bye too, has given us any pause for them not to be in that conversation.
I'm not knocking them down as much as I'm lifting Texas and Georgia up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I still think you put them on a football field, they're going to go toe-to-toe.
That's fine. Yeah. I think that's probably one of the only places we'll really disagree here. You've got the next group, Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee. If you want to put like a dividing line and say Ohio State's at that notch above that, that's fine. But you've got Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri, Miami, Oregon, Penn State is your 4 through 10. And I look at that and I don't know. Ole Miss, we talk about, has not played anybody, but by God, have they been a buzzsaw in a way that you kind of go, yeah, I know they've played nobody, and they've played nobody, but the way they've poured it on, the level of execution, the mercilessness that they're going through and murdering these teams with, I kind of go, okay, let's see what it looks like as it gets up against better competition. Alabama, what Kalen DeBoer has done with them as far as optimizing them for being a run team with explosives, getting athletes on the edge and mauling you on the inside, I like what I've seen there. Tennessee is the team that I'm putting above the other teams on this in this area. I think of these teams, Tennessee is the next best team in this group. And I don't put them in a tier above, but if you're asking me to rank them within this tier, I'm going to go Tennessee 1, then Alabama, then Ole Miss, then Miami. And I think that's the group that I would put together.
I'm not putting Miami in there. I only have in tier 2 right now. I think there's only 3 teams.
Interesting.
And they are Alabama, Tennessee, and Ole Miss.
Okay.
Because Alabama is, Kalen DeBoer is one of the best coaches in all of college football.
And I think
he has
adapted
his offense to what they do very well. And the talent fall off has not been as dramatic as what people were assuming it would be. Tennessee is in there too. They are operating at a ridiculously efficient level on the offensive side of the football. They're really good. Same could be said with Ole Miss. We're going to find out more about these teams as they actually start playing tougher competition. But that's where that second tier finishes with me. I'm not putting Missouri in there. I'm not putting Miami in there. And the reason why I'm not putting Miami in there, Cam Ward is a phenomenal quarterback.
But we've also seen what happens with Cam Ward.
Cam Ward, after the fourth week of the season, both years at Washington State, he fell off a cliff.
Turned into a pumpkin.
And look, he's in a new system. He's got more playmakers around him. I understand those things. Mm-hmm. But a majority of his interceptions, 2022, he had like four games under 200 yards passing mm-hmm. after week four. In 2023, last year, he had two games under 200 yards passing, and he threw seven picks mm-hmm. in the ensuing games.
The meltdown is epic.
And so,
which would be kind of fitting because Miami.
We've seen that before. And then we've also seen, all right, if you have, and I'm not talking about like a crater from Cam Ward, mm-hmm. but if you see a dip in his level of execution and they get a tight game, what happens with Mario Cristobal? Mario Cristobal in a tight game, you trust that?
Yeah.
Their line is good.
Weird.
Their playmakers are good. Cam Ward is really good.
Do you take that third tier? Do you take that third tier? It's Miami, Penn State, USC. Like everybody else is kind of
Oregon,
in that.
Utah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all in that next tier, right?
Yep.
I think the only difference we have is Miami.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's how we're shaping up. And I think over the next 2 weeks, we're going to start seeing the separation between this, and it's going to be really interesting to see from week three, week four to week 10, 12.
No doubt.
The difference between how things come around. All right, when we come back and put a nice little bow on today's show here on Danny Nussie, 1080 The Fan. It's a lot to dive into, but I just wanted to throw this out there.
Oh, boy.
The Athletic wrote a scathing article about the Chicago White Sox, and I just want to pull this quote out for anyone who was like...
Jerry Reinsdorf is a great owner.
Boy. In a recent season, while addressing new employees, Reinsdorf, Jerry, was asked which matters more, the Bulls or the White Sox winning. Rather than answer diplomatically, Reinsdorf, without hesitation, said, the White Sox.
Mm.
Instead of saying both, if you're a Bulls fan, you have got to be sitting there going, oh, screw you, dude.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have a favorite kid.
Wait, so this is him trying to win with the White Sox?
Yeah, and the article highlights... news and notes and comments from 40 employees and players of the White Sox, and it is a takedown of epic proportions.
The White Sox are 36-117.
They have to win 7 of their last 9 games to avoid being the worst team in modern baseball.
7 of 9, wasn't that like a Star Trek character?
Whoa. No.
On like the Next Generation or something?
No. What it is...
That is 7 and 9 bull...
That's what it is. That's all 7 and 9 is. Oh, wow. And this comes on the heels of Jeff Passan, ESPN, wrote like this glowing profile from the White Sox clubhouse of, you know, how does a team cope with being this bad? And it was like a heartwarming story. And the Athletic's like, wrong.
Yeah. Also in that article, Reinsdorf said he would advise the family to keep the Bulls and sell the White Sox upon his death.
Oh, my gosh.
Because one prints money to pay for the other.
Oh, my gosh. God bless him. All right. Ownership. It matters. Yeah. That'll do it for us. We have Football Friday coming up tomorrow. We'll be diving in.
I'm going to come in riding a jeweled shillelagh.
To all things what?
Yeah, hold on.
Why would you do that?
Mm. Not why did you have to say that with music going under you?
Golly.
Because I know better.
Houses. All right, up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears is Prime Time with us, good soup right here on The Fan.
Bye. Eat the sack and call it good.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.